Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Real ghost stories online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again for another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. And chronologically, I know it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to everybody out there as like far as like where the shows are falling and when they hear them, because we sit there and we talk about, oh, we're here, we're there, and then like an EPP episode is like it's our last one technically in the studio, but then like I know it makes no sense chronologically, but this is our first episode that we're recording here in our new studio. Now the EPPs will actually end up hearing the first released episode. Because this is like still a week or two out from actually hitting the air.
But this is the first episode we've recorded.
This is the first episode we've recorded in the studio. So here we go. I think the audio and everything is in good order. I took pictures in the old studio of all the equipment and where I had settings and all that. And any audio dork out there knows how just like one little thing off can be a mess up. But I've been playing with it the past couple of days. Everything looks good on my screen over here. Everything, I think, sounds okay.
I think it sounds okay. Do I sound okay to you?
You sound lovely.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
You sound like Celine Dion.
Never.
In the Titanic.
Sure.
I just had to start doing this. First.
Okay.
Within 3 minutes at the new studio, we got the new Titanic. But so there you go. We're set up. Very soon, probably by the time this airs, we'll have done a Facebook Live and a little show of the new studio. Not painted yet. It's not really quite where we're going to have it.
Oh,
but,
no.
But the pictures are up, our big spooky pictures. And I have this lovely fan in here that looks... I'm going to have some fun with it. It's kind of circa... What would you say? How would you describe this fan?
1995 shiny brass and super ornate
comes back to life. So what I'm going to do with that is I think I'm going to rust the hell out of it.
Yeah,
and it'll be real spooky looking. Then change some of the globes, but we have a lovely view now. It's lovelier than what we had at the old studio. We are like literally sitting in the woods.
Yeah,
telling ghost stories. We should do the shows at night again in here. Although I mean, I really don't want to do that. But I'm just saying if
just for spookiness for us.
The spookiness of it, we could literally be in here at night, light some candles around here, and it would feel like we are in the woods telling ghost stories.
We are in the woods telling ghost stories.
We really are now.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. We are now with Branson, Missouri is where we are located. So welcome to the episode. It's your calls today at 855-853-4802. It's kind of odd because, I mean, like I said, consistent-wise, our audience, our shows have continued on for many weeks. But this is the first time, turn that off there. Is it the first time we've actually sat down to do a show together in, I don't know, it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
It's 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, about that.
It's been odd, but, you know, we had to do a certain number of shows ahead just so you guys didn't miss out just because our life was becoming crazy.
Sure.
So that's why today is our first one here.
And now back to the normal swing of things amongst unpacking a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So. Good times. Let's go to our first caller today here at Real Ghost Stories Online and get right into the ghost stories.
Hey guys, I'm Sarah from Utah and I wanted to share my crazy little story with you. A couple weeks ago, I was sitting in my bedroom watching Bob Ross on Netflix and I had my bedroom door open just a little bit. I normally don't do that. And my room was dark and the hallway was dark. And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching Bob Ross on Netflix. And for some reason, I get the feeling that I need to look up at my doorway. And I'm sitting there and I'm staring at the darkness into the hallway. And I kind of get this strange feeling and I'm just like, this is so weird. If there was a serial killer sitting, you know, just beyond my door, I wouldn't be able to see them because it's so dark in my basement. And sort of out of nowhere, I see the figure of a man walk right past my bed and I freaked out. Like I've never freaked out before. Every single nerve on my body stood at end and it just was the craziest feeling I'd ever felt in my life. And I don't really know what to make of it. I mean, there's been a lot of other weird things that have happened in my house. And my house is literally brand new. I've been living in it since November. And, you know, it's kind of country out there and there's not really much of anything that I know about the land or anything like that. We've had some crazy faulty wiring, according to my mom. Our pantry light, which is motion detection, you know, like you walk in and you don't have to flip on a light. It detects that you're there and it turns on the light. The light turns on by itself frequently. And I tell my mom it's our ghost and she brushes it off every time. And then there's been some strange noises happening in our house where it's like somebody's taking a cardboard box full of books and dragging it across the floor. And my mom has heard it and I've heard it and she still keeps brushing it off. And the other day we were out spreading mulch in our backyard and my mom was facing the house and she looks at me and she said, the pantry light just came on. And keep in mind, all of our pets, our two dogs and our cat and my mom and my dad and I were all outside. So you can't, you know, say that somebody was in there. And it's just crazy. And I've been wanting to call you guys and tell you guys for a while. I wrote in a story about my peacock feathers a while ago. I'm quite far behind, so I don't know if you guys read it or not. But anyways, I super love this show. I listen to it all the time. It's what I listen to at work when I'm not listening to my true crime. But you guys are awesome, and I love you guys. And I'm going to become an EPP quite soon, probably as soon as I get home, because I'm driving home. But you guys are awesome.
I don't remember the peacock feathers, do you?
Not off the top of my head, no.
And that could just be me having a, you know.
I'm usually good about that, though.
Yeah, could just be a brain fart, though.
Is Bob Ross the paint guy?
Yeah, happy painter.
He's
paint happy little trees.
And I'm just curious, the episodes, because he's dead, correct? Mm-hmm. The episodes that are up there, like, when did that show end? When was, like, the last one?
It's very hard to know because he always had super curly curly 70s hair.
It just continued on, and you could. It's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
You never know.
Like, is this an episode from 1978 or 1994?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you really, you're not quite. I don't know. Interesting. It's funny because, you know, I really didn't know a whole lot about, you know, Bob Ross, and I still really don't. But it's just, it's interesting to me how Netflix can completely revive things.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and even that, it's like, who would have thought that would come back? And like, all these people are so excited now about it. And it's really neat. You know, it's like, It's like this whole generation didn't even know this person existed is now back.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you really wonder, like, what else is going to come back at some point?
I don't think, though, what she was watching had anything to do
with
the ghosts showing up.
No.
And, you know, like we always say, it doesn't matter the age of the house. It could be something completely unrelated. It could be something tied to something within the house or the land.
Sure.
So you just never know.
It's interesting, like the sounds and everything that she was talking about, and especially like having an environment that's not exactly conducive to those sounds happening or objects around there to be making them, that really does start to make you wonder, like, what if nothing physically is moving, is it like a residual type type deal? I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, thank you for calling and being our first caller here at the new studio. So far, I have to say, no ghosts here.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. And there's lots of wood everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
As far as we are aware, because we've only like really been staying here during the day while we're working on stuff. But so far, so good. I mean, there has been that weird, I hear like a child crying in the other room every now and then.
That's our children.
That is our children. That's what that is.
Yeah.
And then a little bit of screaming.
That's still our children.
And then there's a fly in the house, and the one starts yelling, "Stupid fly, loser fly."
Yeah.
She thinks that by demeaning the fly. I just heard her in the. She heard me say that, and she just shouted it in the other room.
Yeah.
Should we have her come in here and do a stupid fly, loser fly?
Sure.
Harper, come here. Come in here, honey.
She's gonna demean the fly until it dies.
Yes. That's the way she thinks of how she can control something is emotionally beating it down. And she's three. Come here, sweetie. Come here for just a second. We're talking about what you do when you see a fly. Can you pretend you see a fly and say what you say to it?
Stupid fly, loser fly!
Now say it in a real sweet voice.
Stupid fly, loser fly.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
That's Harper demeaning insects.
Yes.
So we're no longer, we don't need a pest control company or anything like that. We just need Harper to wander around.
She just started doing that on her own, just calling it loser.
And demean nature. It's like that old SNL bit where Will Ferrell was dissing your dog to keep it in line. And she just started doing this. Like, nobody taught her to call a fly a loser. I don't know where the hell she came up with it. And the first time she did it, I almost did a spit take. So I'm like, what the hell? So, anyhow. On to our next caller at 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi there, Jenny and Tony. This is Sarah. I'm calling from Vancouver, Canada. Thank you so much for your podcast. I really enjoy hearing other people's ghost stories. I love the banter between the two of you. It's pure entertainment. And on a recent camping trip that we had to endure 36 hours straight of rain, all of your old podcasts and card games got us through that really bad trip. So thank you so much for that. The reason I'm calling is I have a hotel story for you. I know you love those. Years ago, I worked at a hotel here in Vancouver and was lucky enough to have an employee rate that I could use at other hotels in the chain. And at the time, my husband was a musician. He was finishing a European tour and had a few days off in Seattle before he headed off on his American tour for another month. So this would be my only chance to see him in about 2 months. So obviously, I was going to take advantage of that. I took the train down to Seattle, which is only about 3 hours away. At the time when I tried to book the hotel to stay at, the two properties I was familiar with and had stayed at were both unavailable. And the employee rate, however, was available at this one hotel. And I grabbed that chance and was stoked that I could use my employee rate. So I headed down to Seattle. I arrived first before my husband flew in from Europe. So when I arrived at the hotel, I even noticed a strange energy in the lobby. It was was just off. I do consider myself sensitive. I can feel or pick up heaviness in the air, and it definitely had a weird feeling in the lobby, but nothing compared to when I checked into my room. The room was heavy. I did not feel comfortable whatsoever. I didn't feel alone. Half the wall was mirrors, which was strange because the decor did not match the updated, renovated decor that was on the website. So this is obviously an unrenovated room. Like I said, half the wall was mirrors, and I kept on making myself jump. So I would blame it on my reflection in the mirror. I obviously was super antsy, or I wouldn't have been so jumpy in the first place. I was so uncomfortable that I even left for a few hours to waste time until my husband's flight got in, because I didn't want to be in there alone. So he eventually got in. I think we went out for dinner, didn't get back to the hotel room till after midnight, and he didn't sleep at all. Neither did I. I was actually so scared in the room that I refused to sleep without the television on. My husband had lucid dreams. He doesn't really remember the details, but he usually sleeps like a rock. I can have the hairdryer on and the lights on in the morning and he doesn't budge. And he did not feel comfortable in this room either. So we tossed and turned, didn't sleep at all. And about 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning, I woke up to my husband kind of taking a gasp, like, and woke me up, and I asked him what was wrong. And he said, "Why am I sitting up?" He couldn't figure out what was going on, but he was sitting straight up in bed with his arms crossed, and he remembers specifically going to bed with his head on the pillow. So total strangeness, and I thought to myself, that's my dog in the back having a nap, snoring. I said, there's no way that I'm going to be able to spend two more nights in this room. And when you stay with a hotel employee, right, you don't want to ruffle feathers. You're there as a favor. So since we deal with demanding guests all the time, I didn't want to start demanding to move rooms, but I knew I couldn't sleep in there for another two nights. So I did call the front desk. They were very accommodating, never asked why I wanted to move, said, no problem, come and pick up your new keys. We moved to our new room. I slept like a baby. It was comfortable. And he headed off on his American tour and I headed home. And it was back at work that I just happened to casually be discussing what hotel I stayed at to a coworker. And at the time, there was a gentleman there that was installing a new program. He was the company IT guy, and he had been to many other properties and interrupted and said, "Oh, Sarah, you know that hotel is totally haunted." And I said, "No, I had no idea." And I hadn't mentioned anything about my terrible night's sleep. I just said that I happened to stay there. And he said, "It's a really interesting story. You should look it up, because a woman committed suicide, and the detective that was part of the investigation could never figure out her identity. And it bothered the detective so much that they wrote a book about the situation." So, of course, I get online, I start looking up details, and the book is called, with the title, something Room 214, which is exactly the room that they checked us into, 214, on that first night that we stayed at the hotel. So the details are really interesting. There's lots of forms and people's opinions. There's a Reddit page about it. And years ago, this woman, as I said, checked into the hotel, 214, that's where she checked into. She gave a fake name, fake address, a fake phone number, and committed suicide in her room by drinking Metamucil and cyanide. So another detail that bothered the detective forever, because how did this woman get any cyanide? Or somebody must have noticed this woman was missing. She must have had family or a dry cleaner or housekeeper. Somebody must have noticed this woman was missing. And to this day, they've never been able to figure out her identity. There's apparently a database of hundreds of people per year in America that are found deceased, and they can never figure out the identity. There was actually a website that talked about her suicide note, and her suicide note said, it was written on hotel stationery, "To whom it may concern, I have decided to end my life, and no one is responsible for my death. Signed, Mary Anderson. P.S. I have no relatives. You can use my body as you choose." So that was her suicide note, and there's lots of different links, and there's a Facebook group on trying to find out her identity, but for nearly 20 years, she has remained unidentified. You know, who was this woman, and what drove her to commit suicide? How did she get cyanide? How did she get the cyanide to kill herself? So many unanswered questions. So, anyways, I happened to forget a necklace there on my first trip, and I happened to be in Seattle a month later. I went to pick it up and mentioned to the front desk clerk at the time my story about this room. She was kind of taken aback that they would have even put me in that room. They never check people into that room, but she said, you know, that's the very last room. If they're desperate, they'll use it, but they try not to use it ever. She wouldn't really tell me any other details about it, except one story that she experienced herself, where her roommate came to pick her up after her night shift and was sitting in the lobby. Like I said, it was a little creepy in there anyways, and waited for her roommate to finish her shift. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and then a hotel guest came from the hallway where the elevators are to the room and was sobbing over and over and saying, oh, I feel her sadness. She's so sad, and kept on crying. And I guess this lady came over to the lobby, sat beside the roommate that was on the couch, and above her, the chandelier started moving back and forth. And then one by one, four different light bulbs exploded and popped above where the lady was crying, feeling this sadness of someone that was there. So anyways, to say the least, the front desk girl said her roommate will never set foot in that place again. You know, a janitor came and cleaned up the broken light bulbs, and that was the end of that. So that's my hotel story. I'm anxious to hear what you think about it and what you have to say. So take care, you two. Thank you for the awesome job, and I will be calling in again. I have other stories for you too. Thanks so much. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
I'm pretty sure it depends on the chain of hotels, but I'm pretty sure cyanide is right next to the Snapple in like the gift shops.
Yeah.
That's common occurrence, just so you know.
What an odd way to go.
I know. Ugh. Cyanide and what else?
Metamucil. Yeah.
I
don't know.
Is that like some sort of weird concoction that is it you research this and this does this, or like, I would think the cyanide itself would do the job.
Yeah. But I don't know what the Metamucil...
Is it a pleasant flavor? I can't think Metamucil would be all that great by itself.
So being that this was like 20 years ago, I guess if there's no sign of foul play and mm-hmm. if they really do think it is just a suicide, that they don't do any DNA testing or anything? I mean...
I'm guessing a lot of that probably didn't exist at the moment.
Well, but 20 years ago, it'd be like 96.
Sure, but I think even some of that was still at the beginning.
Okay.
Of it. I mean, it's there, but I don't think it was anywhere near the level. It'd be interesting if they could go back, if the body exists, to do any of that today.
Sure.
To see where, if that leads anywhere, mm-hmm. anyway. But 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over here to Mike. Hi.
How's it going? How's it going, Tony? How's it going, Jenny? This is Mike again from... Cleveland, Texas. I called in. I believe my podcast, story came out about a few weeks ago. Now, at least, it was about the demonic dream. Now, I have a couple of stories that follow on to that. Before that happened with the demonic dream, I was back in high school in those days. And I was in my room. I was in my room with my ex-girlfriend. So what happened is that my ex-boyfriend had passed away. He died in a car crash. And his grandmother would practice not witchcraft, but the ones that read your palm and all that. So, you know, one day she tells me that she still sees that ex-boyfriend, and he told me that he had told his grandma about it, and his grandma said that he's just protecting her, taking care of her. Well, that's the base of what happened. So what happened to me is that one day that we were in my room, we were just watching TV in my room, and I caught her staring in the corner of my room. She was just staring at the corner and laughing. No, not laughing, but like, you know, smiling and giggling. And I asked her, what's going on? Why are you smiling and giggling? And she said, he's right there. No, his name was Ray. He said, Ray's right there. He's making faces at me. And, well, like, I believe any person would act. I got mad. And I said, you know, don't bring that stuff around my house. You know, and she apologized. She said, sorry, I won't do it again. Okay, whatever. So she ended up going home that day. And that night, same day that night, you know, I went to sleep like normal. And out of nowhere, you know, I was asleep, and out of nowhere, I get woken up. No, sorry. I didn't get waken up. I just woke up out of nowhere around 3 in the morning. I saw the clock, and it was around 3 in the morning. And there was a face in that corner, that same corner she was looking at. And it just had like a sarcastic smile to it, you know. And I brushed it off. I just wiped my eyes, and I turned around and looked back, and it was gone. All right, so I brushed it off and went back to sleep. The next day, same thing. I get woke, but this time I get woken up at 3 in the morning. But it wasn't just waking up to see a face. This time I got woken up by being punched on my lower back. And I got punched pretty hard, enough for me to wake up. You know, I woke up and nobody was there. I looked around my room, looked under my bed. Nobody was there. And just to let you know, it was just me and my parents that lived there. My brothers at the time lived in Houston. And at that time, I lived in Brownsville, Texas. So there was nobody around. And I get waken up by this punch to my back. Okay, so after that, nothing happened. I went back to sleep that night. Nothing happened after that night until that dream. That dream was the third thing that happened. So this last time that something happened to me was this year's Mother's Day, Mexican Mother's Day. I went to go surprise my mom. Yeah, Mexican Mother's Day, I believe this year, fell on Tuesday. And I went to go surprise my mom in Brownsville. I live in Cleveland. I went to go surprise her in Brownsville, and you know, she was real happy and all that. So at the end of the night, you know, I started talking to her. I started showing her, yeah, this is where I saw the face, and this is where I got punched. And she tells me, yeah, she said that one time, not one time, but whenever we first moved in, she said, I came and laid down in the bedroom because I was tired. I was cleaning up the house. And she told me I clearly felt somebody get in bed with me. You know, it's like whenever you feel somebody stepping into bed. She said she clearly felt that. But she chose to ignore it, so she wouldn't give it acknowledgement. So she won't show that she knows that it's there. Okay, so that freaked me out. But that same night, I wanted to sleep late for some reason. I couldn't sleep. I went to sleep at 2 in the morning. And I fell asleep in the living room that day. And when I fell asleep, I've had sleep paralysis many times. And but this time it was different. This time, yes, I had paralysis, but yet this was in a dream. I fell into sleep paralysis while I was in a dream. First time it's ever happened before. And whenever I slipped into sleep paralysis in a dream, you know, like normal, I was frozen. But this time, I got out of my body and saw my body just locked up, just frozen in a position. So whenever that happened, you know, I broke out of sleep paralysis. And like I said, I've never had a dream before. And usually whenever I break out of sleep paralysis, I'm awake, you know. So I was awake. Well, according to me, I thought I was awake. But in reality, I wasn't. So when I was awake, as soon as I woke up, I felt 3 tugs on my foot. And after the third tug, it dragged me across the... After the third tug, I locked back into sleep paralysis, and it dragged me across the living room. Oh, man. That was the scariest feeling ever. That was just a horrible feeling. Kind of like on the paranormal movies, whenever a person gets dragged across the room. But that's exactly how it was. I got drugged across the living room, and I was in a sleep paralysis state where I could not move. So you can know that feels horrible whenever you're vulnerable and you're getting dragged across. So, okay, you're probably thinking right now, oh, it's just a dream. But no, the creepiest part about it is that what woke me up, what broke me out of that dream, out of that sleep paralysis, was that same punch on my back in the same exact area. They just punched me again, and they woke me up out of that sleep paralysis. The way I took it is probably high. It's like telling me, hey, I'm still here. It was just one of the creepiest things ever. And this was, I say, about a month or so ago on Mother's Day. It was a horrible, horrible feeling. Well, that's my story there. I appreciate y'all listening. And just letting y'all know, I'm listening to the ghost stories right now when I'm cutting my yard. And it's about 9:30 at night right now. It's just the right scenery for ghost stories. I just got my HID lights on my lawnmower, and I'm cutting the back 3 acres of my property. So it's just beautiful right now. Well, I appreciate y'all listening to me, and keep up what y'all doing. And I am a EPP, but honestly, I haven't heard not even 4 of the EPP stories. I'm only doing it just to support y'all. I'm trying to catch up to the stories, and then I will listen to the EPP. Thank you.
I don't know about dating somebody who says they still see their dead ex. Like,
a little awkward.
Like the dead ex is a third wheel. You know, I mean, I get seeing them from time to time, but
sure.
Like laughing, like you're still interacting, like they're right there in the room. That's just going to be awkward for you, you know.
An odd addition to the profile on Match for that.
Yeah.
Totally ready for the new relationship. Although I do still sometimes see my ex who's dead.
Yeah.
May join us for a family comedy.
And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that that's bad or weird or anything. I mean, because, you know, all we do is
sure.
talk about people that see dead people. Sure. I'm just saying, ask him to, like, not go on dates with you.
Yeah. That's one of those things where, I mean, if it's going on, it's probably not, you know, not necessarily asked for to have happen, but in order to move forward in
yeah.
your living life, that's maybe one of those things you have to, exactly what you just said, just ask, hey, please, you know.
Right.
Obviously, I cared about you when you were alive. I still care about you even though you're dead, but please care about me enough to let me move on,
mm-hmm.
move forward. So
that's a whole new level of let's still be friends.
That really is.
Yeah.
That really is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Emily. Hi.
Hi, this is Emily calling from North Carolina. I'm going to try and relate a story that happened to me when I was 16. I'm 37 now, and I'm going to try and relate the story without rambling too much. So when I was 16, one evening I was out with friends and I came home late at night. It was probably midnight or 1 a.m. In the house where I lived with my parents were always light sleepers and frequently they would be waiting up for me. But when you came inside, if the lights were off, it was a strange older house. It didn't have any overhead lights in the hallway. So you always had to go in the front door, shut it, and go several steps, turn the corner, and the first door on the right was the bathroom, and that was your first chance to turn on a light and be able to see where you were going. So that night, I went in, shut the door. As I turned the corner that led to the bedroom, the hallway led to the bedrooms, and was about to turn on the light, I saw a man standing in the hallway. Initially, I thought, oh, maybe it's my dad. He's up waiting for me, or they heard me come in. But when I flipped on the bathroom light, the person was gone. This is just a couple seconds in which it happened. And then I realized that there's no way that was my father. He didn't look like my father. He was younger, looked to be a dark-haired, thin, not super thin, but well-dressed, fit man wearing a suit. But since I had just seen him for a second, I figured it was my eyes playing tricks on me. The next day, I had to go to work. And I looked everywhere. I worked at a hardware store at the time. I looked everywhere for my keys and my wallet, and they were gone. I knew that I had come in with them the night before, but couldn't find them anywhere. Tore up the house, looked all over the car, ended up getting some spare keys from my parents, went to work that day. Everything uneventful. Came home at night. When I went to sleep, I had a dream. And in the dream, I just saw the man standing there. That was it. And that was the end of the dream. I do have a history of having very vivid dreams, so I kind of discounted it, thought that I was just remembering my eyes playing tricks on me. Night two, still have not found my keys nor my wallet. Looked everywhere. Went to sleep. Again, just saw the man standing there in my dream. And I asked him, I said, "Who are you? What do you want?" And I woke up. Day three, again, no keys, no wallet. Saw the man in my dream. And I said, "Who are you? What's your name? What is it that you want from me?" And he stood there for longer. The dream lasted for a little bit longer, but I couldn't get a response out of him. It was just, I don't remember anything else happening in the dream, just the man standing there. He was probably mid-30s, very well-dressed. I would say an Italian suit. You know, I could see him clearer in the dream than I did in the hallway. And at the end of the dream on the third night, I said, "What's your name?" And he said, "Gavin." And I woke up. Day four, still no keys, no wallet. Ended up having a dream, and the man was there again. And I said, "Gavin, what do you want? What are you trying to show me?" And then I had a quick flash at the end of the dream, like an accident, a crash. Just kind of chaos. Day five, and I may have been to work some of these other days as well, but I know on day five. I went to work.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good. Without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.